The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19, verse 1. So as we observe, there is a creation. We know that there must be a creator. And of course, we know about God through his revelation. We can study the nature of God in his holy Bible, the revelation that God has given man. And so as we study concerning the nature of God from his holy Bible, the Word of God, how rewarded we are to learn more about our Creator. And as we study the nature of God, we're learning that God is holy. God is just. God is love. God is light. God is gracious. God is merciful. And in that study of the nature of God, certainly we would want to include the sovereignty of God. And that's what we want to study starting this morning. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. And as we all should know, that's the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude. That would be in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth, as we know from John 4:24. Now, we want to mention this for sure. If you are interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We would love to get together and open up God's Word and study. And, of course, we'll set that up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, they're greatly appreciated. So, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address. Here's where our radio sermons are for a number of years, and our bulletins as well. And that address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So let's get to our study this morning. We're going to be looking at the sovereignty of God, and we want to probably spend two Lord's days in our study of this great subject. Now, I want to begin as the definition of sovereignty needs to be noted, and this is taken from Brother Frank Chesser. He wrote an excellent book, The Voyage of Faith, and this is from that book on page 31. Notice, sovereignty denotes power, supreme power, immeasurable power. It signifies authority, absolute, unmitigated, unlimited authority. God alone is sovereign. His scepter over all that is cannot be challenged. Satan and his host attempted to defy God's sovereign rule. There was no literal war in heaven. There was not a single battle, not even a skirmish. Scarcely had their hearts entertained the thought of defiance than they were expelled from that heavenly realm with more swiftness than a lightning strike. For God did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. 2 Peter 2:4 was quoted. And so as we study together the sovereignty of God, let's appreciate the nature of God. God is self-sufficient and never needs the help of man or angels in deciding anything. Let's note some scripture as we go to Isaiah 40 and 13 and 14 verses will reveal, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? We all should know the answer to those questions. No one. Now, in the New Testament, Romans 11, 33 and 34. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Excuse me. Oh, let's start over. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who had been his counselor? Well, again, we should know the answer. No one has been his counselor. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, let's notice. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, well, through, of course, heeding the doctrine of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, certainly, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. By staying with his teaching and doctrine, we can have the mind of Christ. But no one is able to instruct the Lord. We should all know that. So as we study together the sovereignty of God, we need to note this important statement. The sovereignty of God gives him the right to make legislation. That is, to make laws, to give commands. Since God has all power and authority, he has the right to make laws, of course. No one should disagree with that unless they deny God. Well, that's rather foolish, isn't it? Psalm 14, verse 1 certainly declares that. Notice in the Old Testament now, we'll go back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis 14, verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. That's right. God is the possessor. He created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. The very first verse of Genesis Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, we need to note that and honor that and recognize the power and authority of God. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 135, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Isaiah 46, 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Yes, God knows what's going to happen before it happens. And his counsel is going to stand whether man agrees with that statement or not. In the New Testament, Matthew 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God the Father," in other words, "has given Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, all power, all authority." And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we note, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name," or authority, we could say, "no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's right. Ephesians 1:11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Well, some have misconstrued this verse, thinking that certain ones were predestinated or selected by God to be saved, and the others are just out of luck. Well, that's a lie. It's as false as it can be. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That refutes that false teaching right out of the water. Yes, sir. And many other verses could be given. The plan, that's what was predestinated. In Christ, that's where we're going to have salvation. And he has all authority given to him by God the Father. Now, let's go on. "God makes laws which are best for everyone." God has given us laws of morality for our own good. Yes, sir, that's right. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, "Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you," the Corinthians that is, "but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." Did we notice that homosexuality is a sin, regardless of how many do not believe that? Today it's being advocated as a liable lifestyle. Transgenderism, just like homosexuality, for so many, that's a natural thing if you're with that tendency. Well, that's a lie. Who is that coming from? Not coming from God, it's coming from Satan. "And be not deceived." That's what the scriptures are telling us. Did we note that? Be not deceived. Don't allow society to take us away from the Word of God. We'll die in our sins if we stay in our sins. And so we need to love those who are being deceived and help them get out of sin by declaring this is the Word of God, speaking the truth in love, of course. We want to have the proper attitude. We're not to hate anyone, but we are to hate the sin. Excuse me. So this is clear, that God makes laws which are best for everyone. And so if we are going to continue to be in these immoral sins, it's going to have a bad crop come from this sowing of this kind of seed. Be assured of it. God has given us commands also which prove our faith. So some laws, yes, are good for everyone in the sense of practicing good morals, good behavior in our lifetime as we're living on this earth and how we affect other people and the influence that we have. But again, also God has given us commands which prove our faith. Like in Acts 2:38, as this is the day the church began in Jerusalem, yes, on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, having been crucified for everyone's sins that is accountable. And those that realized they had put to death Christ and wanted to do something about it, as they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit. So that is a law to prove our faith, to repent. Of course, these people believed, they were convinced, and they would have made the good confession, because we know that is a command as well. We're confessing that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And you can see they were commanded to be baptized, every one of you, in the authority of Christ. For what purpose? For the remission of sins, that's forgiveness. And to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, in my view, that's referring to the laying on of the apostles' hands, passing on the miraculous gifts that was needed in the first century, as they didn't have the complete revelation of God as we do today. Now note Mark 16:15-16 also. "And he said unto them," that is Jesus, to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Did anyone misunderstand that? Well, it's too clear, unless you want to misunderstand it. Well, again, that's a law that God has given to prove our faith, to be saved. We must believe, of course, but we must also, as we saw in Acts 2:38, we must repent. We must be baptized after confessing that Jesus is the Christ. You see, people want to ignore this because they weren't taught it, or the ones that taught them were so loving and they couldn't be wrong kind of thing. No. Don't put our trust in someone else. Stay with the Word of God. God's sovereignty gives him the right to make legislation. Notice Ephesians 5:19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." An 8-year-old child, if you told him to sing, old MacDonald had a farm. They could do that. Well, if they had a piano and they were able to play the piano and you said, "Play, old MacDonald," they could play it on the piano if they were able to play that song. They would know the difference. Now, you could say sing and play, and they would know the difference, that they could do both. Why is it so many today do not seem to understand the command, sing, singing, making melody, where? In the heart, to the Lord. And, of course, Colossians 3:16-17 as well. So these are commands God has given to prove our faith. 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Are we giving as we've been prospered? You see, that's proving our faith. And we could go on with many other examples, but since our time is limited, let's go on to the next principle. The sovereignty of God produces our faith. Yes, that's right. The sovereignty of God gives him the right to make legislation. That was number one. Now number two, the sovereignty of God produces our faith. When we realize that we have a Creator who is all-powerful, with all authority, and willing to save us from our sins, we should be motivated to obey Him. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Are we diligently seeking Him? We must have faith. What kind of faith? Real faith, biblical faith. A faith that works, not works of merit, but works of righteousness. Why would we put our trust, our complete trust, when it comes to our eternal destiny in ourselves? Or some other person, for that matter. That's foolishness, isn't it? Proverbs 3:5. We all should know this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Don't do that. None of us better do that, myself included. We should trust God's wisdom, power, authority, grace, and mercy, and of course, His wonderful love. If we do not trust God, then we have been deceived. Notice with me Galatians 6:7-8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's going to turn out like God said it would. Be not deceived, none of us. Man is without excuse when he fails to recognize that there is a Creator, since there's a creation, as we started out the program this morning. Notice Romans 1:20. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There will be no excuse on the day of judgment. People can try to argue, but how foolish is it to argue with God? God, being perfect, has given all the evidences which reasonable men and women need to draw the proper conclusion. Yes, and boys and girls that are of the age of accountability, we all need to recognize God is perfect and He's given us the evidences, all we need to come to the proper conclusion. Without God, there would be no law or morality. Imagine that. No, I don't want to think about that. Now, life cannot come from non-life. Well, that's very basic, and no one should misunderstand that. But you know, so many people have succumbed to lies. Satan, of course, behind the scenes, has helped along those who want to deny a Creator. So they had to come up with an explanation for how we got here. And they decided, well, we evolved over periods of millions of years. We had to have lots of time, of course, to come up with this hypothesis. It's not a theory. You can't work with it. It's a hypothesis. The hypothesis of general evolution. Well, there's changes, you know, that's going about in our lifetime where we make adjustments. Our skin darkens during the summer, and you know, we have adapting situations about our body. But we're not changing from one kind to another. That doesn't happen. You can't interbreed different kinds. You see, it's pretty simple to come to the conclusion that the nest could not have produced a bird. That nest is not living, but the bird is, and the bird made the nest. That's pretty simple. But if you want to deny God and go along with evolution as it's being taught as fact, you might as well say the nest produced the bird. Non-life producing life. That is impossible. And I can say that with all assurance. Life cannot come from non-life. The laws of science will go along, of course, because if they're true laws of science, not falsely so-called, you know, we need to know that God breathed in man the breath of life. God is living. Therefore, life came from life. Mind produced matter, not the other way around. Matter cannot produce a mind. Stay with the basics on this, and we won't get all twisted up, turned around, and have our head in the sand or in the earth, not knowing what's going on about us. But if we listen to those who are so smart, well educated, all these degrees, well, if they don't know that life cannot come from non-life, then we don't need to listen to them. We need to pray that they will have an opportunity to give up their foolishness, turn to God for salvation, and obey the precious gospel of Christ. As we've studied this morning, the sovereignty of God. He's self-sufficient, never needs the help of man or angels in deciding anything. His sovereignty gives him the right to make legislation. And he makes laws which are best for everyone. And he makes commands, gives commands, which prove our faith. And we've seen now the sovereignty of God produces our faith. And we're without excuse if we fail to recognize the sovereignty of God. And so this morning, what does our life say about our appreciation of the sovereignty of God? Are we doing His will? Have we obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist anyone in putting on Christ through the watery grave of baptism to contact His precious blood. Having heard the word, believe that Jesus is the Christ, having repented of one's sins, then made the good confession, they're ready to be immersed and to put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. We stand ready to assist you, and we thank you so much for listening today.